I'd like to suggest first tonight that each one of us take just a few seconds and think about his mother. Some of you that are here tonight have your mother in this auditorium. Some of us that are here tonight still have a mother living. Think about where she might be right now, what she's doing, what she means to you. Several of you have a mother that has passed on. Take just a moment to think about some event or some time in life when she meant so much to you. And let each one of us think of his own mother for a few seconds and think of her in a way to honor her for what she is. I think there is none of us who can really comprehend how valuable a good Christian mother is. And we are thankful for all mothers and what they have meant to us in so many ways. May God bless them. May God bless each of you here tonight who is a mother, and especially those of you who still have younger children who are in the process of rearing them. I don't know that there's anything that your child has other than God himself that's more important than you as a mother. May God bless you. A husband and wife were sitting one night, and the wife looked over at the husband and said, "Hon, I want you to make a date with another woman." He immediately said, "What in the world do you mean? You know you don't want me to make a date with another woman." She said, "Yes. I want you to make a date with another woman." He said, "Well, hon, you know that I am faithful to you. You know that I do not want to make a date with another woman." She said, "Yes. I want you to make a date with another woman, and I want you to do it very soon. I want you to make a date with your mother. To take her somewhere, maybe out to eat, and spend some special time with her." I saw that little story the other day, and it immediately caught my attention. I want to use it tonight to emphasize three points that I believe are extremely important. The reaction of that husband indicates that he understood, and rightly so, that there was to be nobody else on this earth as important as his wife. And that there was to be nobody else that could take her place. As indicated by his reaction, he understood the teaching of the Bible that he was to be faithful to his wife. And in the true sense of the word, there was never to be another woman. We need to understand that tonight. The lesson tonight, although on Mother's Day, is perhaps more to those of us who are men than it is to those who are women. Each man who is here tonight, who is married, needs to understand that there is no other person on this earth as important as his wife. And that there is never to be any person as important as his wife. You and I have read and quoted time and time again Matthew 19:4-5. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." But have we slowed down to look at what's said there, especially as we think of Mother's Day? He said a man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they are to be one flesh. It may very well be that there are times in our lives, far too many times, when we as husbands fail to realize the place that the wife is to play and the place that she is to have in our lives. I think sometimes we can allow ourselves to become so involved in business affairs that we put the wife on the back burner. And I think sometimes we can become involved even with our children. And if I were to take off on a tangent here, I'd talk to mothers about this also, wives and mothers, that we become so involved with our children that we put them ahead of the spouse. And that ought not so to be. If there is the right setting in the family, there doesn't have to be any conflict. And all of these relationships can fit together. But I believe that every husband that is here tonight needs to realize that his wife is to be the most important person on this earth to him. Leave father and mother. Cleave to his wife. Understand that to mean that he's not to love his father and mother any less. He's not to be concerned about them any less, but that he now is taking upon himself the responsibility of a husband and a leader in his family, and he is to cleave to his wife first above everything else except God. I think Ephesians 5 will bear that out. The husband is told to love his wife even as Christ loved the church. And the verse goes ahead and explains that kind of love when it says that he loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how much Christ loved the church. I understand that to mean that's how much I'm to love my wife. How much each husband is to love his own wife as Christ loved the church. And later there in Ephesians 5, he says that the husband is to nourish and to cherish his wife. He is to give her the physical needs and the emotional needs. I think this will sort of boil down to that if you really look at it. And that's his responsibility to his wife. You ought to look at it as an opportunity, not just a responsibility, but it is a responsibility to nourish his wife. I'm to be concerned about my mother. You are too. I'm to be concerned about other people. But I'm not to be concerned in the same way that I am about my own wife. The Bible tells me I am to nourish her and I am to cherish her. And there's no other woman on this earth that I am to cherish in that sense. In fact, there is a type of love that is represented by that word cherish there that a man can find only with his wife, not even with his mother. And that may be one of the factors involved in why he says, leave father and mother and cleave to the wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, after in the first 5 or 6 verses talking to the woman about how she's to have the right kind of example for her husband and even can win him without the word if she lives as she should, verse 7 comes along and says the husband is to dwell with his wife, and he makes 2 key points. According to knowledge and according to honor. Dwell with his wife according to knowledge and according to honor. Does not that first word indicate that there needs to be communications, that there needs to be, especially on the part of the husband, listening? To understand the wife better, to know her better, to dwell with her according to knowledge. And then also that he is to dwell with her according to honor. That he is to live in such a way as to honor her. He is to express his honor to her. And he is to make sure that she receives the honor that is deserved in every way in life. He is to nourish. He is to cherish. Live with her according to knowledge. And live with her in a way that is honorable. That's the first responsibility that each man has who is married and has a wife. And to those of you that are younger who are not yet married, let me encourage you to begin anew, to emphasize that relationship in your thinking as you are planning your home And as you are looking for someone to become your wife, remember that that woman is to be number one in your life above all others. Again, I add second only to God. But there is room for another woman if that other woman is your mother. Sometimes we become so involved in our own personal lives after we leave father and mother and cleave to the wife or to the husband that we forget dad and we forget mother. And I think this is what was involved in what this woman was saying to her husband. I think she was saying in the statement that she made when she said to him, I want you to make a date with another woman, that she realized she was to be first. And I would guess in this case, believe that she was. But she also realized that her husband needed to continue to love his mother and show that feeling of love to his mother. Sometimes we don't spend the time with our parents that we ought to. Sometimes we become so involved in the activities of life that we don't even call to check or call to see what's going on. And though we can find the time to be involved in civic organizations and community services and many other things, sometimes we can't find the time to go by and visit with mother and spend some time with her. And the sad thing about it is that usually we don't realize the seriousness of this until mother gets older and maybe gets sick and is not able to get out and go places and do things that she once did. And it begins to dawn upon us that we're not going to have her long and that we do need to spend some time and we do need to do something about that relationship. The passage that was read a few minutes ago from Ephesians chapter 6 talks about honoring father and mother. You know the passage, you know it well. I want to go back to the book of Proverbs for just a moment and share with you several passages of scripture that talk about mother. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In the 6th chapter and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. In the 10th chapter and verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Contrast between having the right attitude toward mother and father and not having the right attitude toward mother and father. In the 19th chapter of the book of Proverbs, at verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And as I read that, I think of some of the things that I said a moment ago of where sometimes we forget to take the time to spend some time with mother. He that chaseth away his mother, in other words, he just sort of forgets her and puts her over there to the side or chases her away. And then in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs, first at verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Verse 25 of that chapter, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And the reason is in the first just before that, that one is living a righteous life. The mother is going to rejoice because of that. In the 30th chapter and verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The next verse, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. He goes on and on, but he says, there's a generation, and I wonder if sometimes it could be ours, that does not bless their mother and remember their mother as they should. And then my favorite verse in the book of Proverbs about mothers is that verse that's a part of the description of the worthy woman in chapter 31, verse 28. her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Each one of us needs to make a date with another woman, if mother is still alive, and spend some time with her. A telephone call can be made for a few cents and just a few sentences in a conversation with mother can make a difference. A few dollars can provide a meal. And how many of us need to take the time to make a date with mother, to take her out to eat, to take her somewhere, to let her know that we still care. And each one of us who is a husband and a son can do that without violating any relationship with his wife. If there is the right understanding between husband and wife and in the family, there is no conflict. And I appreciate what is suggested by that wife that said to her husband, "You need to make a date with another woman." But I want to add something to this and throw it into the hopper that was not indicated in that conversation. I think there are many of us here tonight who need to make a date with another woman in the sense that we need to make a date with a daughter, to spend a little time with that daughter. Some of us that are here tonight have more than one daughter. Some of us have one, some of us have none. There has been a tendency, it seems to me, down through the years, to sort of come to the idea that mama needs to take care of all the things that the daughter needs, and dad needs to take care of all the things that the son needs. And I would readily admit, and I think you would agree with me, that there are many things that a mother can teach her daughter that the father cannot, and many things the father can teach his son that the mother cannot. There's no doubt that that part of it is true. But I'm convinced more and more that each father needs to realize how valuable his relationship with his daughter is. And that we need more emphasis placed upon the father-daughter relationship. Right now there is a cry throughout America for the father image in many families. And the idea is being suggested that many children are growing up without a father, and they are. Many are growing up without that father image in that relationship. And we tend to think in the back of our minds that's where the son is going to really suffer, and he will. But I believe the daughter will also. Is there anybody that can help prepare his daughter to understand the true relationship between a man and a woman than her father? Is there anybody that can teach her better and show her, especially by his actions, what it means, first of all, for the husband to be the leader and to be respected, and what it means for that daughter of his to prepare herself to where she can be the kind of wife that's described in the Bible and be submissive both to her husband and to her God according to the principles of God's word, and be ready to respect him and to stand by his side and work with him? Is there anybody that can do that better than her father? I'm not for sure that there is. And the sad thing about it, as we look about us, is that many fathers don't have the time to spend with either a son or a daughter. I heard of a family not long ago where the father, at least once a month, literally took his daughter, nobody else, and went out and ate together, just the two of them, just to have some time together. I believe that man was wise. And I believe that he is helping to prepare that young lady for some other man that will come along later and be her husband, by taking the time to really be her father and to spend some time with her and help her to begin to realize what is involved in being a husband and in being a father as she spends some time with her own and is taught by her own. Psalms 127 says, "Children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward." And then it says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. You probably heard me mention this from this very angle, that there are at least two things involved in shooting an arrow to hit the target. One is to point it in the right direction, and two, release it with the right speed. I think this applies to what we're talking about tonight. Who is better able to point his daughter in the right direction and to be ready to release her with the right speed and the right attitude when it comes to that time that she is ready to have a home of her own than her own father? Perhaps there is no one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it, includes she. Train up a child in the way she should go, and when she's old, she will not depart from that teaching, at least, that she has had. Who can do that better than the father? Why is it that it is the father, not the mother, who is charged specifically with bringing his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Is it not because, first of all, that he is the leader in the family? But may it not also include the idea that God himself understood how important it is for the father to spend some time with his child? In this case that we're talking about tonight, especially with his daughter. Leadership, love, the importance of the man in the family, the importance of all the relationships that are there. Who better able to teach that than the father? The only thing that's better is when the father and mother work together to do it. But I'd like to suggest tonight, first of all, that each one of us who is a husband realize that his own wife is the most important person on this earth, and love her, nourish her, cherish her, and honor her. And then I would like to suggest that each one of us who has a mother that is living make a date with that other woman and find some time before too long when you literally ask your mother to go out with you to eat, maybe with no one else except the two of you. She may have a slight heart attack, but I'll guarantee you that she'll appreciate it. And then I would challenge each one who is a father, especially who still has a daughter at home, to make a date with that other woman and take her with just the two of you and spend some time together. I'll guarantee you that it will pay dividends. Make a date with another woman. What are you talking about, wife? Make a date with your mother. And we're adding tonight, make a date with your daughter. Men, we need to stop and count our blessings. A good wife, a good mother, a good daughter. Can you name me anything that's better? Let's not take them for granted. Let's honor our mothers and every woman who is a vital part of each life. Not only today, but all the time. And I would hasten to suggest that the greatest way that you can honor your mother or your wife or your daughter is to be a Christian. Nothing else you can do that's more important than that. And if you're not, you ought to become one tonight. First, for the salvation of your soul, but a second reason that we've discussed to honor those in your life that are so dependent on you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to come asking for forgiveness, the Lord's invitation is extended as together we stand and sing.